to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. Really glad you could stay with us into the guest segment of our program. Thanks for staying with us through the intro. My name, again, is Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're back for part two of the exploration of what I've been referring to as strange creatures from the Bible. And this is no joke. This is not hyperbole. This is scriptural based, and this kind of gives us an idea of what lies ahead. And we're going to have Sam Arnold back, Pastor Sam, and he is going to complete what he started in part one of this series. If you are listening to us on Global Star or Red State Talk Radio Networks, you're listening to us in successive hours. If you're listening to us on our flagship station at KYH, you're listening to us on successive business days. So we're really glad to be with you. And this is going to prove really interesting. I mean, that first hour we had just flew by, and now we're going to get into more depth. But before we do, we got to pay some bills, ladies and gentlemen. There's some people that keep the lights on here for the Common Sense Show. The first would be Noble Gold. I warned you the banks were in trouble. I warned you that if you keep all your money in cash, you're going to get killed. Well, there's still time to make the conversion. I did it a few weeks ago with Noble Gold. I'm so happy I did. I'm so relieved. Because when I take the hit for what's coming economically, it won't be a complete hit. I'm going to be able to largely avoid what's coming because I've prepped. You can too. Give them a call and they'll tell you how. And it'll be no pressure. They'll never call you. You must contact them at 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And in the upcoming days, the obtaining of food and clean drinkable water is also in question. You've heard me talk about it before. PrepareWithDave.com. No price increase. Restaurant quality. Lots of diversity of food. 25-year shelf life. Go to PrepareWithDave.com. And by the way, there has not been a price increase all the way through this present crisis. And WaterWithDave.com. If you got food, you better have water. And we have the best water filtration system in the world. The research is at waterwithdave.com. It'll show you why this is the best. And they're offering their product at 40% off. Why so good? Because they think there's a day they're not going to be able to ship it to you. So that's preparewithdave.com for the food, waterwithdave.com for the water. And now we have Sam Arnold. And Pastor Sam was with us, as I said, in our last segment. And, man, we covered a lot of territory. Sam, let's give about a 30-second summary of where we were at in our last part and then talk a little bit about where we're going. Well, I'm glad you're here. Welcome back.
Okay. Thank you for having me. We're talking about the Nephilim. We're talking about angel-human hybrids, the sons of God coming down to the daughters of men, and the offspring of those unions being men of renown and the mighty men, the heroes of old. And we're talking about how prevalent that actually is in our day. I believe that we're getting close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we as believers have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. And so really the shocking things that I'm throwing out on the table and opening discussion on is that the situation of Nephilic blood, whether it's greater or lesser, is it's very prolific, and that a lot of people have Nephilic blood that don't know it or haven't thought about it, and that even high percentage Nephilic hybrids can be reconciled to God, that there's a tremendous biblical precedent for that. So I'm just laying out some of those things. This also is a skeletal study where any point that we go to is really worthy of study on its own, And a good place to start is the Song of Deborah in Judges 5, which talks about how the mighty came to the service of the Lord, and other mighties did not come to the service of the Lord to help the armies of God against the wicked. And so that's the really shocking point that I'm throwing out, is that where we've used in the past the word abominable, there is grace. Grace abounds more in this hour. These people are coming around, and there's good news that the Lord wants to accept them like he accepted some of Goliath's own friends as proselytes into Israel. So that's where we kind of left this yesterday. And for today, we can jump in just any place you'd like.
This is, I feel like I'm shooting at the horizon. I mean, the topic is so broad. When you say people have Nephilim blood, okay, they're humans like you and me, and they're walking around. Are they aware of it, and how are they different?
Well, some can pass for human, and others cannot pass for human. But of those that pass for human and are in and are integrated into society, they very often are not aware that they have Nephilic blood, and it's a difficult realization for them to make. For one, nobody wants to admit that they've had a leg up on the rest of the people. Nobody wants to admit that they were born with an unfair advantage. And at the same time, nobody wants to admit that they were born with a glaring defect. And to have Nephilic blood is both of those. On one hand, it's an unfair advantage of strength and intellect and spiritual power. They have the nature of angels to a degree. And it's hard for people that have accomplished anything, you know, it's hard for them to admit, I had this totally unfair advantage from the beginning. But then at the same time, you know, people are shy even about a birthmark, even about just a little thing that they were born with that makes them different from other people, or perhaps less. And when angelic blood enters into a human offspring, that person is less in the nature of God. And even though angels are stronger and more powerful than human beings as pertains to the flesh, they are less made in the image of God. And so that's where we see in history, in divine accounts of these heroes of old, we see them portrayed as having human parts and animal parts. And that's kind of the way that I understand that. They know that they're made of two very different natures, and that the combination that's put in is in some ways stronger than man, and in some ways much weaker than man as far as the image of God is concerned. And this may be the meaning of the feet of clay, where the iron was mixed with miry clay in Daniel's image. I believe that's in the fourth chapter. So in the end days, in the last days, in this final Roman kingdom of the dual legs of iron, in the end, there's this interesting passage that says, and they'll mingle themselves with the seed of men. They'll mingle themselves with the seed of men, but the two natures will not cleave to one another, as iron does not cleave or mix with miry clay. So that could really pertain to Nephilic bloodlines today. And that's just one passage that I'd encourage people to look at.
And how would we recognize these people, Sam?
Well, that's a hard thing, because most Christians have just been part of these old crusty wineskins, and they don't see in the spirit, they don't move in the prophetic, and it's very important to be Holy Ghost filled, to pray in other tongues, and to move through that gateway into the other gifts, which includes discerning of spirits. This is often watered down. We've even watered it down in our language. It was a real sticking point for Clay Sonmore, my friend and one of my mentors, when he would hear people talk about discernment, and he would stop them and say, it is discerning of spirits. Because he found that people wanted to make this gift of the Spirit of God, this gift of the Holy Spirit, they wanted to make it into women's intuition and feelings, and it's not that. It is a very powerful operation of the Holy Spirit of God when we discern when something is, what kind of a spirit is behind something when they're invisible. And so, we have to move to that place. And if someone would like some physical indicators, well, I could give that, but,
well, let's do that. I'd like to know. I don't want to get too close to these, creatures.
Okay. If you see a woman that's over 50 years old and got a body built just like a Coke bottle, I'm telling you, that's an indication. They have a, you asked, and I'm being...
I know, I got it.
And the fact is, a lot of professional athletes have higher percentages of nephilic blood, but one of the baselines that we discussed in our previous lesson is that when anyone looks in the mirror, they need to assume that they probably have at least 2 or 3% of nephilic blood, enough that they need the grace of God to deal with that additional fallen nature on top of their original sin and the sins of their fathers. Everybody has a little bit of this nephilic blood. And that's what I've come to find, and the deliverance ministers that we've quoted some from their manual from Ignited. I'd like to move into their second manual and talk a little bit about that today. But they have found that the entire bloodline of humanity is polluted with angelic blood. And by my own experiences, which I'm really trying to not talk all too much about, although I will get into it a little bit, because it was not easy for me when I began to be approached by people that had a visible and significant percentage of angelic blood, and they started coming to me. They started coming to me and asking me to teach them. I just barely touched on that in our first lesson.
Yeah.
And I had a bad attitude about it. I had the traditional attitude, and so I'm not throwing any rocks that so many people have taken that traditional attitude that these are the uncircumcised, these are the Philistines, these are the bad guys, these are the giants. They're the ones that are against us and are always trying to get us. The Lord really had to correct me from that position, and where it started was David's Mighty Men. The Holy Spirit started talking to me. And the
Holy Spirit, let me add, before you go further into this, though, is there a decided self-awareness in these people that they are what they are? Do they know?
Generally, high percentage hybrids have that. You know, every dog has wolf in it. Though it is said that all domestic dogs come from the wolf. But when you look at a dog and you look at a wolf, the nature of the wolf, the untamable nature, the savage nature, the aggressive nature, the indomitable nature is very prevalent. And of course, that's something that the Lord also will heal at the last day, and something that could perhaps even be healed in our time. You know, the original breed type, the original specimen of what we refer to as the German Shepherd, that breed only was developed in the early 1900s, so a little over 100 years ago. And the original German Shepherd had a grand dam that was a full she-wolf. So the original type of the German Shepherd was a 25% wolf hybrid. Now that's a lot of wolf blood. That's getting to the point of total unmanageableness. Now
I get that. Now I have one more follow-up question with that.
Go ahead.
Are these people, these Nephilim, high percentage people, or creatures, whatever we want to call them, are these the people behind the secret societies that people like the late Jim Mars used to write about, such as the Rockefeller Banking Cartel or the Rothschild Banking Cartel? Is this how they yield their influence in the world?
It is one way. And when we get into the deliverance manual, and they've been trying to get people free over in South Africa and found that they had Nephilic blood, and this is where we ended our transmission yesterday,
yes,
where they say that this is a very powerful bloodline curse. In another place, they say that Nephilic blood is the strongest bloodline curse that they have run into, which is an astounding statement. They're saying it's stronger than their parents that were into witchcraft or Satanism or Masonry when they found Nephilic blood in people that they're trying to do deliverance on. They say it's one of the very strongest bloodline curses. Now, you ask about if they know. You know, I bumped into a cult in Las Vegas years ago. It's probably been 15 years or more since this happened. But they're called the Raelians, R-A-E-L. Rael is their leader, and they believe Rael to be an alien. And these people, now, this is a diabolical cult, okay? They're bad people. They're troublemakers. They operate in enormous demonic power. I was sick as a dog and went in the bathroom and threw up repeatedly just dealing with them at all. But these people believe that they are descended from aliens. And this is why the Nephilim study is so important, is the Nephilim are referred to in our day by different sects as aliens, as extraterrestrials, as ascended masters, etc., etc., but they are what they are. And if we look at the Bible, then we can understand their nature a little bit better. And these Raelians believe that anyone who's accepted into their cult, they have a testing process to figure out whether they believe people are descended from aliens. And they actually state that their father that they grew up in the home of, they don't believe that that was their actual father. They believe that the aliens came in a mist and in a spaceship and physically cohabitated with their mothers, and that they're the offspring of those unions and not of this natural man that is on their birth certificate as their father. And what's scary is maybe they're right, because the Bible says that this is afterward also. And in my Dragonlancer series, one of the base premises that I believe that I proved very well in that, our interview is not going to permit us to retread all of that ground, but I believe that I proved irrefutably that in the days of Noah, the earth was overrun with dragons and with Nephilim and Nephilic hybrids, that those bloodlines were just overrunning everything. And that's how I interpret the fossil record. And just to respond to one more aspect of your question before we move on, I believe that in the ruling families of the world, there are more Tanninic hybrids. And this is where we get some reptilian myths. And again, in my series, I go into that in greater detail. And shocker of shockers, where I very clearly see it in the Bible. And you know, Dave, I haven't had a bazillion views on that, but no one has come in and brought a specific verse and said, Sam, I think you're completely in left field or in outer space on your interpretation of this verse. Nobody has done that. And that's what I really want to do, is start the discussion, start the study down whole new lines. And the answer to your question is yes, there are people that are hybridizing all kinds of stuff. And these are the dark powers of the world.
Wow. That's it's really kind of unsettling to know that they live amongst us and we could be working alongside of them. What about family bloodlines within the same family? Do we see enough variation there where we could say not only do they live in our societies, they're also part of our families?
Yes, and when you get into Illuminati bloodlines, then a lot of times they conceal who the real parents are. People grow up in foster care and loaned out to other families. It's very common in Illuminati and in satanic ritual abuse that people don't really know who their parents are. But a lot of times it doesn't come from one generation back, like the Raelians say. They believe pretty much that each one of them was their mothers were inseminated by an alien. But the Nephilic blood stays. In fact, that's part of the reason that, you know, the explorers that came to the Americas, they found Amazons. They found societies of giants, and if you read, I read a lot of their original accounts in Spanish and in Portuguese. Some of them you can get their journals that are scanned on the internet, PDFs for free. And so I read a lot of that in Spanish and in Portuguese, and one of my friends here in Mexico, a translator and guide and a wise son in the faith that the Lord's given to me, he can read the native languages, just handwritten native languages that make no sense, even though there's a million dialects and this and that. And so we have access to some historical accounts that are not widely known, but even the ones that are widely known, these explorers ran into tribes of giants. I talk about Cahokia, Illinois, and I sent you a short clip about Cahokia, Illinois, and this massive earthwork that's there. And then right there is the city of Alton, Illinois, which is where the tallest man in recorded history, Robert Wadlow, over 9 feet tall, was born, and then died at about 19 years of age, and was buried under 18 inches of reinforced concrete just so that his genetics would never be scientifically evaluated. And so it's just everywhere you look under the surface, there is something suspicious. And now who even knows? We got so many blended families and divorce and remarriage and steps. Our own bloodlines are becoming as contangulated as the heathen tribes that were being preached to up in the jungle, as told in Through Gates of Splendor and The Savage My Kinsman by Elizabeth Elliot.
Wow, this is mind-boggling. How much awareness is there of this among other clergy like yourself?
Zero. That's why we're really talking about the Ignited manuals and ignitedinchrist.org, because they were the ones that were bold to come out and say it. But then we have other people like Steve Quayle and L.A. Marzulli and Timothy Alberino that have literally come in and wrote a book. They've come in and written new source texts on this. They've examined fossil records. They've gone on archaeological expeditions to try to peel the lid off of some of the secrecy. I mean, 20 years ago, I knew, hanging out with other students that were, you know, going after ministry degrees and master's level degrees and things like that in ministry and in biblical history and ancient Hebrew and Ugaritic and things like that, we knew that the Catholic Church, primarily with other co-conspirators, was hoarding bones. For example, Neanderthal bones. And the Neanderthal, the more you look into the Neanderthal, the more it looks like the giants of the Bible. And now there's talk of Neanderthal DNA. Anybody that takes a DNA test, it may come back that they have some percentage of Neanderthal blood. And that's kind of its own conspiracy, but part of that conspiracy is that these powers know about the angelic bloodlines, and they would like very much to map all of us scientifically and figure out who has this or that much angelic blood. And so on one hand, everybody knows. On the other hand, this is why we started with the universality of incest and DeMouse's, Lloyd DeMouse's book you can find on the internet for free. This is something that everybody knows should not be, but at the same time, every society has its underground of incest and sex with children, and it's abominable, and it's one of the main things that we as Christians and our forefathers, the Hebrews, were commanded to depart from, and yet it's all around the world, and here the church is trying to combat that.
This is really kind of putting things into perspective. So the Catholic Church would seem to know.
And the Smithsonian.
Really? So we've had an official government interest in this?
Oh, yeah. You know, my friend, Dennis Tarpin, was running a homeless shelter in Quincy, Illinois. And a man came in off the street. Like so many homeless people, travelers, vagabonds, etc., he was indistinguishable from the others. By the way, the same thing happened in St. Louis, Missouri, to the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step program. And the man dressed as a bum was not only a Catholic priest, but was a Jesuit who came in and derailed the whole movement, and that's why to this very day in the 12-step program they call upon a higher power. They have all this neutered spirituality that removes the Lord Jesus and God and a salvation experience out of the equation, is because a Jesuit infiltrator came in dressed as a bum. So this happened to my friend Dennis Tarpin as he was running his homeless shelter in Quincy, Illinois. But this is someone who operates very strongly in the prophetic, and the Spirit of the Lord said he's not who he says he is. So later they had other conversations, and this person came to be, it was eventually found out who he was, and it was none other than General Albert Burt Stubblebine, the head. Yes, he came in himself dressed as a bum into the homeless shelter in Quincy, Illinois, because the rumor had gotten out that people were getting healed in that little out-of-the-way place. You know, this is like Alton. It's a city that's not on its way, not on the way to anywhere. Alton doesn't even have a bridge. Quincy at least has a bridge that goes across to Missouri, but it's an out-of-the-way place that is not really known. It's a small town, and that is where the rumor had gotten out and gotten to United States intelligence, and not just intelligence, the paranormal bureaus. So we're getting document dumps now, even last year, about remote viewing and about more Project Monarch and Project Paperclip investigations and Wernher von Braun and other Nazi scientists that came and not only went into NASA, but actually built the deep state and actually further their own studies on mind control, mind drugs. And remember, Nazism is steeped in, it's based in Thulean theology about the search for the Übermensch, for the superman. It is based in the Vril Society. It is based in, they were approached in early Germany, you know, the 1930s, before war had broken out. The heads of the Nazi Empire were approached by people that looked younger than they were. The one eventually was supposedly over 100 years old and looked like she was 18. Exceedingly, exceedingly beautiful and strong women. That's the one thing that I told you to look for. It's not the only thing, but that is one indicator, and that's how the Vril Society began its love affair with the Third Reich, which led to many of their Wunderwaffen, their wonder weapons, which were far, far ahead of their time. Without getting into anything really spooky, we know that ballistic missiles came out of that. We know that they had their own nuclear technology, that we had a race for the atomic bomb against them, a race that we very nearly lost. If it wasn't for some brave Norwegians sinking their own ferries with heavy water and destroying centrifuge facilities by sabotage and things like that, the Nazis may very well have gotten the atom bomb ahead of us. And so that's the real history. We want so badly to focus on the doughboys and our brave soldiers and the G.I. Joes and the tanks and the production and all of that, but underneath all of it was a spiritual war that had very much to do with the Nephilim.
Very interesting, because this goes right into the master race, and that makes perfect sense. And just, I don't know if you know this about me, you may, but my father worked with captured Nazi scientists, and their physics was light years ahead of us. And he asked them individually, one at a time, where did you get this technology? How did you get so far ahead of the West, the rest of the West? And their answer was, we got it from aliens. And my dad said, did you ever meet them? And he said, well, no, but our commanders say they have, and the proof is in what we're giving you. My dad never believed it, but he did tell me, he said, I think there's a satanic quality to this. Were his instincts correct?
Well, that's what General Stubblebine said later. And this is years after his power encounter in Quincy, Illinois, which there's a lot about that I'm not telling right now. I'll leave that to the people that were there or for another time. But just let it be known that there were angelic manifestations, and it was a little bit like the throne room of Pharaoh in the homeless shelter there in Quincy, Illinois. But wow. Bert Stubblebine, in the sunset of his life, in the twilight, he was asked, is there any truth, any effectiveness to the things that you were doing, specifically remote viewing? And here's what Bert said. He said, oh, it's effective. And then his eyes shifted and he looked down at the ground like a person ashamed. And he said, I'm just not sure how wholesome it is. And that was his way, Dave, of saying that he knew that he was dealing with dark, dark powers. And in the twilight of his life, he was glad to have gotten away from some of those things. But yes, the whole Nazi ideology, we talk about eugenics, but that's something that we can understand. But they were pursuing the Übermensch, the Superman. They believed that they were descended from psychic giants. And psychic is a word that has changed meaning a little. And for an American, when you say psychic, they automatically, woo, you know. Okay, so we're completely departing from science. Well, what it meant maybe to them was departure into the spirit realm, where the spirit realm could then be tapped to have effectiveness, to have efficacy in the natural realm. And we as Christians, that's why we pray, is we believe that we can tap into the spirit realm. Of course, the Creator, God, we're not talking about demonic powers, but we believe that we pray, and then the Creator God, who's invisible, does things in the realms that are seen. And so it's not so strange that these leaders like Hitler and Himmler was a very, very strange and bad dude. And if anybody just wants to just tap the surface, there's a great book called Unholy Alliance. Now, recently there have been a number of books named Unholy Alliance, but this has the swastika right on the cover, and it talks about the Third Reich and their occult activities. You know, Himmler was an unlikely military leader. He was weaselly. He was not physically strong. He did not have the features of a mighty warrior. Heydrich did. Reinhard Heydrich had those characteristics and operated in the supernatural, but Himmler was a warlock, and that's why they had all their they had their dark castle, which was the head of the SS, the headquarters at the Wewelsburg Castle. And even the occultists of our day have gone to Wewelsburg to do workings and to do magical rituals and rites, because it's been rediscovered that there's truth to what for so long was fables and myths.
So is this why the Bible commands us so clearly to avoid the occult?
Well, yes. And I do subscribe to the position that demons are the spirits of deceased Nephilim. Now, I'm not going to lay out that entire theology. It's really not my idea. It is established. So there are Luciferian angels, and then those Luciferian angels have populated the world at different eras with Nephilic beings, and then upon their death, that is what a demon is the disembodied spirit of a Nephilic hybrid. And so, Timothy Alberino, for example, has done a lot of work on this. He's gone to Sardinia. He has shown the tombs of the giants. Did you know, Dave, that the Bible tells about the coffin of Og, the sarcophagus of Og, and it's in Numbers 21, and the King James says that he had a bedstead of iron. So he had an iron coffin, and it was 9 cubits in length. Now, Goliath was only 6 cubits and a span in height. So this was half again higher than Goliath, which, of course, is a massive increase in weight. Og, the king of Bashan, probably weighed over a ton. And his coffin is out there someplace. It may be in a private collection, as are so many artifacts. And just to throw one fact out there to make this real, I went to the pyramids of Teotihuacan, where the Aztecs, in one campaign, took 80,000 captives in a military campaign and sacrificed them all, cut their hearts out with obsidian knives on the top of that pyramid called Teotihuacan, north of Mexico City. And you climb up the pyramid to the top, and you know what's missing? The sacrificial stone. The actual stone table that the victims were spread on by, they had 5 priests would hold the head and the 2 arms and the 2 legs of the victim, and then a 6th priest would cut open the side of their ribcage with an obsidian knife, pull their heart out, and squeeze it like a lemon on top of that stone in seconds, and then they just roll the body off and do another one. In the time that it takes me to tell that, they probably would have done it twice, and that's how they did 80,000 victims in a campaign that only went for probably 1 month. But Dave, that stone is gone. And this is the Illuminati. This is the leaders of this present darkness, which I believe the Pope is the head of. That stone has been removed from that pyramid, and I don't even know how it would be done. Nobody knows where it is, but that sacrificial stone has been stolen. And we're talking something that weighs 5 tons, 10 tons, maybe more. Who knows? But the sacrificial stone is not on top of that. So many, many, many important artifacts. It's like the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I believe you asked me about that in our part one. The artifacts are being kept in private collections, and the Nazis sent their military out. They sent their military to the Himalayas, military flights. This has been told in story. If you watch the opening of Jet Li's movie Bulletproof Monk, it's set in about 1940, and here they are in the Tibetan monastery, and the Nazis show up to take their artifacts. And while that may be fiction, the first thing that Hitler did, Adolf Hitler, in the invasion of Austria, is he personally went into the museum in his limousine, drove him to the museum in Austria, and smashed the case and took the Spear of Destiny in his own hand because he believed it to be the spear that was used to pierce the side of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified, and that the holder of that spear held the political power over the world in his hand. Now, whether or not that's true, and of course it is apocryphal and dubious, it's not in the Bible, but the fact that Hitler went there himself after his armies invaded and took it in his own hand shows that these people have been dedicated occultists for a long, long time, and that many, many artifacts have been scooped up and hidden from people like you and me, so we don't know what's going on. That's their intent anyhow.
Well, we know that Hillary Clinton worships Satan, and we know she travels to Los Angeles to attend a satanic temple, for lack of a better term. Is this something that predominates the extremist leadership of the Democratic Party today? Is this kind of Nephilim, occultic type of rituals?
Always where there are people that move strongly in witchcraft, there are hierarchies. And this is, I discussed in the first lesson how our angelology and demonology has really been deficient in the Christian church and Christian theology. I try to go find the books that are written on this, and so many studies about angelology only obfuscate. They only oversimplify things, and okay, there's nothing to see there. There's nothing out there. But we can go back to Genesis 1:21, where the Lord created the great Tan Inn. It's in the beginning. It's in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. It's there. And the establishment of celestial powers also is there, that the greater light would rule the day and the lesser light would rule the night. The book of Job talks about that. And if we get into the great battles, in the Song of Deborah says, she says, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. So we as believers, as gospel gunslingers, as warriors in the Lord's harvest field and battlefield, and as people who are pursued by these wicked that want to hunt us down and kill us, we better learn what the Bible has to say about the establishment. And you know, Romans 13 has an awful lot to do more with those established powers than what we've traditionally been taught. In fact, the second lesson in my Dragon Lancer series is entitled Romans 13 is Not About the Police. And it's really worth looking at. So we get into some of those things. But yeah, when you get into these blood drinking and very high levels of the military too. So our politicians and our very many of our military leaders have been into these dark things. Now there's good ones as well, but we really need to pray because there's war within our militaries. And that's never more clear than as the United States ship Theodore Roosevelt, referred to as the Big Stick, as Teddy Roosevelt famously said, walk softly and carry a big stick. Yeah, well, it's in port. It's parked. And the Chinese are just raging all over the South China Sea and the Pacific because that ship is out of commission. And it's out of commission because of traitors in our military and in our government. So perhaps, as it's in port, we can reevaluate the faithfulness of individual sailors and commanders in a new way, because they had snuck into everything, these troublemakers and traitors. So let's get rid of them, and then let's reestablish our military out of people that love America. There's plenty of them out there that do love America, but the ones that don't, we need to get rid of them.
Sam, I want to twist this into another venue here. The current coronavirus situation. When I look at how societies in the past are subjugated, there's always a lockdown phase, a destruction of economic choice phase, which is what we're going through right now. And I'm of the opinion, and I have said so in print now, that I believe that we are in the precursor stages of genocide, and this was merely the first step. And would this be Nephilim-oriented in terms of purging the human race, the 90% factor we hear so much about?
They definitely want to kill us. And they don't like those of us, like myself, that are weaklings by nature, that have waxed strong in the gospel and in the faith and are known for being victorious, when that was not the hand that we were ever dealt. So they don't like us. But on the other hand, Satan is not all powerful. He's not all knowing. He is working from multiple directions to try to come get us, and plan after plan of his is frustrated, and he very often shoots himself in the foot, and very often his faithful soldiers defect. And if there's one message that I want to really get across about the Nephilim, it's that a lot of them are defecting right now to the kingdom of God. They are coming under the hand of prophets. They are coming and offering their sword, just like happened in the Song of Deborah, just like happened in the going in the mulberry trees when David famously went out to battle. What was that going? Well, it was some other creatures. You know, the Bible talks of certain battles and says the wood devoured more than the sword on that day. Well, you know, sometimes people trip and fall in the woods, or sometimes a panther or a bear will get them, a handful of times in our entire history of these United States. But when the Spirit of the Lord moves differently, two she-bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 youths that mocked Elisha the prophet. And then we see the going in the mulberry trees that David was instructed to wait for. And so this reconciliation is coming. It is coming. It has begun. And very many of these creatures are defecting. And when you talk about the Nephilim, we say creature, but that actually means created being. And God didn't create those. That came from the devil's machinations and the desire of those fallen angels. But the Tannin, God did create. And they have a part in our world, just as surely as the wolf and the lion and the ox and the snake and all of that. And Isaiah talks so much about it. So this is where I've just kind of come in and put some of these verses together, where we can see it's so easy for the preacher, or now for the newfangled Bible translator, to just say, oh, that was an ox. Oh, that was a crocodile. And as they teach on one passage, well, this is a crocodile, and then they just go right past it. But what do we do when we find that the same thing is mentioned over 20 other places?
Right.
Oh, we better take a little bit deeper look.
That's, wow, this is fascinating stuff, because it explains a lot. And so let's just get into real people. Ted Turner. A lot of people believe he's the author of the, or creator of the Georgia Guidestones, founder of CNN, which is the mouthpiece of evil, donator of $50 million to the UN, who is proving to be, at one point, will be our oppressor. Is someone like Ted Turner, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, are these people Nephilim, or are they just serving them?
Well, let's just jump to the top. The most famous reptilian hybrid, the most reported person that shapeshifts into a massive man-eating lizard form, is Queen Elizabeth II of England, who just recently celebrated her 94th birthday this week. And I did a whole series about the Queen of England and how her alliances are changing, and how she is head of the English Commonwealth, which contains 2.8 billion people, including many industrialized nations of the world and many smaller nations as well. They're changing alliance. They're leaving out of Europe, and they're coming over to our side. And I talk a little bit about Nephilic and Tinnitic hybrids, and what we have to support that, not only in history and in the Bible. That interview is on justanotherchannel.com, or if someone finds my YouTube, it's on my liked videos and has a picture of the Queen of England right there on the front with her very tasteful display, her brooch with thousands of tiny diamonds. We talk about the Queen and how maybe she is changing alliance. Maybe she's fed up with all of the Islam that Prince Charles has gone after, with all the pedophilia. And of course, this is going straight to the Clintons. This is going straight to sure. Prince Andrew, to Jeffrey Epstein. And maybe the Queen is done with that. And perhaps the reason that the Queen of England is making this turn is because the prophets are opening the door that there's grace for people that have a little or a lot.
Yeah, just like Paul in the Bible, I agree. Hey, real quickly here, we're just about out of time. Tell people how they can follow you.
Gospel Gunslingers. Search that on any engine. My name's Samuel Honnold. I'm reporting right now from Mexico, and I'm in the city of the great revolutionary heroes. It's H-O-N-N-O-L-D, just like Alex Honnold, the famous rock climber that climbed El Capitan with no ropes. I'm sure that we're related, but I have not been able to prove it. However, if you find him, you're spelling my name right, and they don't help me. You know, YouTube doesn't help me. So
oh,
please,
yeah, of course not.
Search in, find where I'm at, and, you know, maybe we'll all collaborate as the conferences come up.
Exactly.
As the Gen 6 comes out. Maybe we'll all compare notes. I wanted to say that
Sam, my friend, we are totally out of time, and I'm sorry to do that. But we're going to have to pursue this because I had a whole lot of other real-world examples to run by you. So we'll have to continue this another time. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fascinating... We'll be right back.